Speaking of the Lord's Apostle Paul to the dear Christians in the city of Corinth, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our second scripture lesson is our sermon text this morning. We find it recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where we read verses 12 through 20. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in the gifts that build up the church. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, dear mirrors of God's amazing grace. So you're looking out your window one day and a van pulls up in front of your house and out gets a contractor with several kids. Hands them each a crowbar and a hammer. While your mouth is dropped and you're watching, eyes getting bigger and bigger, they come up pretty soon. You're hearing the pounding and the ripping, and there's your siding coming off on the lawn. So you run out of the house. I mean, instinct takes over. You're not even thinking about it. You shout at them, "What are you doing in my house?" And one of these smarmy kids gives you a look of amazement, like, "What are you asking us for?" And the other one says, "We've got the tools. We're going to work. We'll send you the bill tomorrow." Imaginary story. Everywhere except the church. The Holy Spirit tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 that every Christian gets a gift, or gifts, beyond just the faith to believe in Jesus, gifts to be used for the glory of God, and he wants us to go to work. But we are either tearing off the siding, or we're nailing it on. No in-between ground here. When you go to work, you're either building or you're tearing down. And so what the Lord God says to the Christians in Corinth still applies to us today. Use the gifts, but excel in the gifts that build up the church. First of all, recognizing that we've got to be infants to evil. Infants to evil. Didn't like it when I was a kid, don't like it any better now, and you don't like it either when somebody tells you, grow up. The better you know the person, the more it hurts. I don't imagine that the Christians in Corinth were too thrilled to have the Lord's apostle telling them, grow up. But that's what he's saying. Last verse, brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. Over and over again, he uses this word brothers, which you know Jesus used for his disciples for the first time in his sermon to Mary Magdalene. After he rose from the dead? Check it out. Saw it in a sermon of Luther and thought, come on, really? computer told me instantly that Luther was right. He was paying attention as he read the Gospels. Jesus said, brothers, the first time after he died and rose again and his disciples had all forsaken him, then he calls them brothers when he says to Mary Magdalene, go and tell my brothers, I go ahead of you into Galilee and I'm alive, I conquered death. Brothers. And so the Lord's apostles, Paul in particular, picks this up in this letter to this troubled congregation that caused him more problems than any of the other ones, maybe the rest of them all put together. And he calls them brothers. What a warm and comforting word. Luther said in that sermon that one word alone ought to be enough to encourage you and me when we feel like we've troubled our Lord and we've abandoned him or sinned against him, that he would call his disciples brothers and call us brothers, members of his family. Oh, that's rich. It's just so beautiful. And now brothers. He's actually saying that in a way to help them realize I'm not just talking about thought processes up here like you could run through your computer or something. We're talking about a kind of thought that is here and here all the way down to the pit of your stomach. It's thinking from your instincts. It's the feelings together with the mind that he's talking about when he says, stop these gut feelings about evil, and toward evil be infants. But in your gut feelings, the way you react to challenges as brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ and brothers of each other, grow up. Think like adults, feel like adults. Let it all come together, mind and heart, for the glory of God, to build up the church. Brothers, stop thinking like children in regard to evil, be infants. And many American Christians don't get this either, especially when it comes to this whole matter of tongues, other languages. We've talked about that enough in the past, that you understand that in the Bible when it says tongues, the word is the Greek word for tongue, but the context tells us these are other languages. And we've got that front and center in America today. And sometimes I even hear American Christians say, they come to America, they learn English. And on many levels, political, educational, economic, there's good reason to learn English. It just bothers me sometimes that we have this American way of thinking that everybody's got to do what we do or learn what we learn. And so it is with you, Paul says. If you are eager to have these spiritual gifts, which you are, then try to excel in the gifts that build up the church. So we've got to look at this. You really, you know, have gotten to that point where, you know, without any heart in it, you'd make them learn English. It works until you travel abroad. You find yourself, as we did in Italy, just north of Bologna, as the sun was setting this last fall on our 25th wedding anniversary trip over there, rented a car, trying to find the first motel, and everybody's talking Italian, we're driving Italian now at the speeds of Italy on the autostrada. We finally get off, nerves frazzled. The sun is going down. We've got to find this place before it gets dark. What if the Italians just said, well, you Americans come over here, you talk Italian? They were so helpful, at least the guys on the street trying to give us directions. But you know when he says, doblo autostrada, doblo. It doesn't help you figure out that means the other side of the freeway unless you also understand that dextra means stay to the right so you don't get back on the autostrada and up in the Alps up north. You gotta go around, go under the overhang, get to the other side of the autostrada. Doppler. So what if we demanded everybody else do that and then they did the same to us? Go ahead and learn English. Those of us who start with English and learn any other language have it easier than somebody that has to learn English as a second tongue. Do you know that? English has more vocables, more words than any other language in the world. The second runner-up is French with 2/3 as many vocables as we have. And some of you know why. It's commerce. It's computers. It's the fact that we borrowed from every language in the world. All our legal terms come out of Roman Latin. Our medical terms come out of Greek. We put them all together in English with French and Saxon and German and who knows how many other languages and call it all English. And because it's all jammed together like that, we don't have any rules that you can actually learn to learn English. Anybody that learns English as a second language has a lot more work to do than you and I ever will with whatever language you want to learn. So let them learn English. What do we Christians do? When we think about this in view of eternity, and we realize that people coming to America need to learn English for a lot of reasons, but especially if they need to hear about the Lord Jesus, what are they going to do if we don't teach them as best we can the language of here so that we can tell them about our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, who's their Savior too? The epiphany of Jesus Christ to the entire world as Jesus shines through us as his own Christians. A couple weeks ago, one of the pastors in training at Mount Olive Chinese Church shocked me when he told me another reason why they don't want me to learn Chinese. He says, "I understand God's word better out of the English Bible." I said, "What?" The first Chinese that told me that, he says, "No, and there's others like this too. We know God's word better from the English Bible because the Chinese words that are in our Chinese Bible are not used on the street." Be like you going out to a typical American of jaywalking, if you want to try that way, and just ask people, what is righteousness? What is justification? What does grace mean? If they don't know who Moses is, they won't be able to explain those terms to you and me. And we're taught at the seminary to use them, but to explain them. Don't assume that people know. So if you learn these terms, these beautiful vessels of God's grace in Christ out of the English language, like David at Mount Olive Chinese Church, he doesn't want to have us preaching and teaching to him in Chinese. Give me the English. Teach me the English. That's where he's found his Savior. Pretty amazing, isn't it? If you kneel at the foot of the cross and see Jesus as your Savior and realize that that blood that flowed out of his hands and feet and side and head all flowed for every individual, every sinner like you and me who ever lived or will live, we need to teach them about Jesus in whatever way we can. To grow up, as the Lord says, to excel in gifts that build up the church, being infants to evil and mature in the mind. Paul uses an example of a musical instrument here. It would work for me too. If I started playing the guitar for you and just strung away with all my heart on those strings, no matter how long I played or how painfully you listened, you would never figure out what it was the song that I was playing. Because I don't know how to play guitar. There'd be no distinction in the notes. And that's what the Lord's apostle is saying here too about speaking in other languages. That's the way it is for you, he says. Excel in the gifts that build up the church and be eager to have these, but anyone who speaks in another language should pray that he may interpret what he says, so that he not only understands what's coming out of his mouth in another language, but that he can also tell the people where he is what these words mean. For if I pray in a tongue, in another language, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. You might never have had that experience if you've always worshipped in English services. But a year ago in November in Thanksgiving Church in Wuhan, China, where the whole service of 2-some hours was all conducted in Chinese, my spirit was joyful to hear Yesu, Christos. You know, you can hear the name of Jesus, hallelujah, amen. They're across the ages from Hebrew to all the languages. But the rest of it, but what I'm seeing are my fellow Christians praising the name of Jesus, studying his word, the preacher reading from that in Chinese, and the people on the second floor and the third floor balcony, 1,100 people all at once, that came, some of them, hours early to learn the songs before the service starts to sing to the great king. All of them either walked or rode bicycle or took public transportation. No parking lot. Nobody has cars. But they filled a place as of 2002 when the church started. This was 2005. And my spirit was there. But if that's all I ever heard, when the music stopped, my feelings, my spirit would drop too. The Lord doesn't want that. He wants us, when we worship Him, not only to have our heart in it, but our mind engaged as well. For that, we need to understand. So I would need the Chinese to explain to me what they were talking about in a service like that, as we need interpreters for some of them here. For this reason, if I pray with my tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among you, a visitor, who comes and doesn't know what's going on and doesn't understand what you're saying, how can he say amen to that? In other words, I agree with that. What you're saying is God's word, if he doesn't understand the language. You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. Reminds me of what Xiaoqing's wife, Xiao Yun, told me about. Well, she asked me after class one day to set up a video camera on my desk. She gave me an encyclopedia of medical terms, most of which I didn't know except I recognized pneumonia, bronchitis, and all that. It's all in English. And I said, why do you need me and the other pastors apparently to read onto your video camera from this medical encyclopedia? She says, when I get back to China, everybody will say you've been in America, therefore you must know all the terms. They'll expect me to know what they mean, and how to say them, how to explain them, and all that. Because we don't have another vocabulary for medical terms in Chinese. We get ours from America. So I sat down, and for an hour straight, she said, well, stop the tape if you need to, but just read. And so I read and read and read. Didn't stop. Finally, I got to the end of the section. She stopped the camera. She said, how did you know all those words? How could you read that and not have to stop? I said, they're Greek. All of our medical terms in America come from Greek. All the way back to Hippocrates that took that oath. So pneumonia is pneuma, the word for spirit or wind. Holy Spirit is holy pneuma. And that's why it's so weird to try to spell pneumonia in English. You don't normally put a P in front of an N. But that's what she would have when she got back. And she told me about people coming from America, the PhDs, and talking to them in English and kind of mumbling things so that the Chinese couldn't really understand what they were saying. And so the Chinese have an expression for these PhDs that come over from America and lecture to them in all these subjects. They say he speaks like a drunken American sailor. They need to understand. We need to grow up to tell them. We need to use the gifts that God has given to excel in those gifts, not just to speak and to teach, but to spread the word of God. Some of you may be wondering, why would Hosanna Ministries make MP3 files of the whole Bible and then give those out to people like us, and then we take them home and we can't play those things? Confession for you. A few years ago, I called up Hosanna Ministries and criticized them for still using cassettes. Just recently, I had to explain to a little boy what a cassette was. The term is gone to the little children. They understand what a CD is. So I said, here, you know, everybody's getting away from cassettes, so you're still doing the Old Testament on cassette and the New Testament on cassette. Why didn't you use the new technology and put it on CDs? Well, we did. You can order it. So I did. Figured it would be less than the 12 cassettes it took for the New Testament. Oh, no. 16 CDs. Some of you had the same experience. What's the deal? And then when I got my cell phone, and I thought, well, I've got that little secure digital card size of a postage stamp in there. I could put these files on that little card. They wouldn't fit. Not even one book. I don't know all the technology and the letters for that, but that's because there's so many numbers in those files for the computer. They're just great big, and they can't all fit in one little space. So somebody figured out how to compress them, make those same files smaller, and what I'm holding in my hand is the same thing that used to take 12 cassettes and then 16 CDs. They figured out how to put it onto MP3 files, one DVD. More memory, you know the story. So what's the deal? We Americans can go out and for maybe $20 get an MP3 player. You can get them off the internet. Jim tells me get a boom box at Best Buy or something. Just make sure it plays MP3 files. Because what they're doing is taking that one CD of whatever language is read professionally into a recording out into the jungles of Africa or Central Africa where Salimo Hachibombo is from, the man I told you about before, the one who speaks Tonga and tries to put Hebrew prophets into the Tonga language and the Greek into the Tonga. The problem is that only one out of every four Tonga in Central Africa can read. And they're used to passing on information by word of mouth, but they need it in their language. And so they're doing this through the Wycliffe Bible translators at a cost of about $25,596 per New Testament in every language, except that in the whole wide world, there are 6,809 language groups, and only 1,580 of these have the New Testament available. They need one CD in MP3. So that they can take it out into these remote areas and play without the cassette player, which takes a lot of power and a lot of battery if you try to use it. And after much prayer to the Lord God, someone on the Hosanna Ministries staff figured out how to make an MP3 player that can be recharged either by a hand crank or by solar power. So this little, you know, probably about as big as your hymnal, maybe a little bit smaller than that, they can program the whole New Testament or the entire Bible on a microchip on there and take it out and have it be played loud enough for 300 people at once. It will recharge that battery up to 600 times. It costs $100 for the New Testament charged on that little player, or $159 for the whole Bible. They just have to make the recordings into that language, make the MP3 CD, and then they can take it out to the people. That's why the door offering in these last couple weeks, today and last week, to try to get the Word of God into the Tonga language. The New Testament books, each book is about $948 or something like that. So they're asking churches across America to sponsor a book or do whatever you can to help pay for that. In our Wisconsin Synod, the California-Arizona district adopted this as one of their projects to get the Bible onto the CD for the Tonga people in Central Africa so Salimo Hachibombo and his people can hear it and listen to the Lord. It's expensive, but not in our terms. To me, it's just amazing. They finally got the technology up there to the point where now it's just a matter of all of us praying that we can excel in the gifts that build up the church to be infants toward evil and mature in our mind, so that they can hear the Word of God in a way that they can understand it. During the offering this morning, I'm going to show you a 7-minute video that talks about Ghana, neighbor of James, right? You're from Liberia. Ghana is right next door, and so they took the cassette tapes to Ghana to play God's Word for the people there. The people can come and sit and listen and hear Jesus talking to them. And the joy in their eyes, the joy of these children dancing and singing, rejoicing to hear that their sins are all forgiven. What you and I hear week after week, many of them for the very first time are hearing that salvation is a free gift of God's grace. They'll talk about cassettes here because it's an old video. But they've gotten to the point with this new proclaimer, as they call it, that they can take those out of the bush and play them on the moon if you need to. Wherever the sun is shining, the Son of Righteousness will speak to the people there to listen. So you had the speakers. Those who know the language could write it from Hebrew and Greek or from English into the mother tongue. those who would read it, record it, and those who use their electronic engineering to figure out how to condense computer files so that the package is something that you can carry and play. And the whole world is rushing by us, everybody thinking this is just for making money, this is just so that we can gain power and authority and fill the checkbook or whatever, and you know better. Remember Dick Stint, the member we used to have here, he always said, yeah, they thought the jet planes and computers were for making money. But we know it's for the glory of God and spreading his word. We're looking forward to that day when God will take all of these gifts and bring them together in thanks and praise to Jesus Christ as the Savior of all. And his church will be built brick by brick, soul by soul, into this temple of the Holy Spirit, praising God for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise.